There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. A lot of basketball to recap. Also, the draft coming up on Thursday night. We'll get to your phone calls. Operator Tyler sitting by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Stat of the day, always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Thank you for those of you who have downloaded the Peacock app to be able to watch this program, and our radio affiliates numbering over 400 cities in America, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Mother's Day, we got you covered once again. The last 2 years we've done this with Dan's Deals. Great response, great products at huge discounts. You're not going to want to miss out on this. It'll be available in tomorrow's newsletter at danpatrick.com. Once again, it's first come, first serve. High-quality products for Mother's Day at massive discounts. So a lot of fun to be able to help you out. And we all know we need help when it comes to buying gifts for Mother's Day. Springtime, perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system that we recommend. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Visit SimplySafeDan.com. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Play of the day, poll question, and a few stats of the day coming up. Watching the basketball last night, wild final 30 seconds, but the Knicks go up 2-0 in the 76ers. And then the Nuggets down 20, beat the Lakers at the buzzer to go up 2-0. Now, the Lakers led for almost 45 minutes of last night's loss to the Nuggets. So Denver led for a total of 44 seconds. All you have to do is lead for one, and that's what they did with Jamal Murray with the jumper at the buzzer. NBA teams winning the first two games of a best-of-seven series have gone on to win 92% of the time. Basketball coming up tonight, Suns and the Timberwolves, Pacers and the Bucks, Mavericks and the Clippers. We'll settle on a poll question. By the way, the Joker had 27, 20, and 10 as they pick up the win. So he's had four career playoff games with at least 25 points, at least 20 rebounds, and at least 10 assists. The rest of the NBA, the history of the NBA, has a total of four games. He has five. The rest of the NBA, that includes Kareem did it once, Dave Cowens did it once, Will Chamberlain did it twice. The Joker has done it five times in his career.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
And it's been nearly 50 years since the last player, other than Joker, has done this, Dave Cowens. So Wilt did it twice, Dave Cowens once, and Kareem did it once as well. But how many star players, MVPs, do you watch and go, he might not take the last shot? Because last night, he was setting a pick for Jamal Murray, and you had Anthony Davis switch off on Jamal Murray. But, you know, you normally think, okay, clear out, the star's got it, he's going to try to score. But Joker is so good at passing. Like, you always have to be aware of, do we focus on him and let somebody else beat you? As I've said before, I don't want the best player on the floor to beat me. Well, Jamal Murray is, you're not going to write the history of this Nuggets team without Jamal Murray. Now, he hadn't made an All-Star appearance yet, and I say yet, but he's one of those guys when you watch, certainly in the playoffs, and you go, golly, he's pretty good. You get kind of swallowed up into the vortex of the Joker when Jamal Murray got the ball, knew what he wanted to do, and hit the shot over Anthony Davis. Yes, Mark.
Does Jamal Murray feel like a Jason Terry almost? Where it's like, they don't win that championship without Jason Terry stepping up in big moments.
Well, Jason Terry was a sixth man. But yeah, he was big for Dallas when they won that championship. I think he might be a little bit above that as far as name recognition. I mean, he's a starter, second best player. But, you know, they have Porter who played well, Gordon, that you can sometimes get lost in the smoke that is Joker. You know, you have those players. You know, Chris Middleton, he was always, but he had made an All-Star game. But he was like, oh, Chris Middleton's pretty good, or at least he used to be. You know, that star sometimes, like Tyrese Maxey is really good with the 76ers, but you still have Joel Embiid. You know, certain players get lost in the shuffle a little bit there, and that's probably the case with Jamal Murray. But if you're the Lakers, I don't know, if you're a Laker fan today, do you say, man, like, we're there. You know, we were up by 20. Hey, same as last year. We're really close. We didn't get blown out. Yeah, we got swept, but we didn't get blown out. Or do you go, I don't know if we have what it takes to get over the hump here. Yes, we're up 20, and then we lost. We've lost a lot of close games to them. Well, that's the difference between being good and being great. That's the difference between being eliminated or advancing. What do you do when you need to do it? And that's what Denver did last night. You know, even the Knicks, I mean, it was a wild, frenetic pace there in the final 30 seconds. And it was like, what is going on here? Well, 76ers, you can't blow that kind of lead with 30 seconds to go. Did you get an offensive rebound when you were supposed to? Did you make both of your free throws? Did you call a timeout? Could you get the ball in? Did you leave somebody open for a wide open three? Like, that's not what, you know, good teams, well-coached teams do. And I really wondered about that with Nick Nurse last night. Call a timeout. Kind of get everybody together here. And you got a heroic performance out of Joel Embiid. I mean, he's clearly gassed at the very end. He's doing his best. He put up good numbers. Maxey is a star, as I've said the last couple of years. Thought he was an all-star. But the little things... And the little things came back to haunt the Lakers. The little things came back and haunted the 76ers last night. Here is the Knicks. The last two buckets they had. This is MSG with Mike Breen on the call.
8 on the 24. DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer. Shot. It's good. Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Oh, a double bang. Let's go.
Mike Breen, take a bow. Wow, that was fun. I watched it, and I'm still getting goosebumps with just that call. But the Knicks, and you think of the Sixers, and you think of maybe Kawhi's shot that beat the Sixers in the playoffs years ago when they went on to win the title, and it just kind of hung there, and then it drops. And then I thought that last night when they got the friendly roll with Brunson. But Joel Embiid says they're still going to win this series.
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Okay. You might have more talent than the Knicks. That doesn't make you a better team. Because the better team usually wins. Not the team with the most talent. better team. And the Knicks did what they needed to do when they needed to do it, and the 76ers didn't. The same with the Lakers. This is how it sounded last night on the final play of Jamal Murray's jumper.
Denver with the timeout. We are tied. I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. Pins it.
So Kevin Harlan with the call there as Murray hits the shot, goes into the bench. Anthony Davis falls into the bench, and Denver ends up pulling out that victory. Here is LeBron talking about what it's like to play Denver.
I mean, we know they're a great offensive power team. We know they're going to get into a rhythm at some point. We know they're going to make runs, especially on their home floor. Just have to withstand them, and I think we did. Obviously, we gave up a 20-point lead, and that's unfortunate. But 20-point leads in this league is not—it's not safe, especially against a defending champion. We got to do better with that. But we had our chances.
They have had their chances this year and last year, and maybe it's just Denver has an answer for every question that the Lakers pose. Because I'm watching last night, and I go, "Okay, Lakers in a good rhythm here. Denver just seemed like to start and stop, couldn't get a flow going." It's same with the Sixers against the Knicks. Sometimes we watch the first half and you go, okay, most games aren't won in the first half. Where you go, yeah, we're up. We're up by 15. We're up by 12. We go into halftime up by 10. It's the adjustments that are made third and fourth quarter. In all sports, you have that who makes a late adjustment, who does the right thing at the right time. And last night, it was just you could feel Denver. You could feel it. And then you could, if you're a Laker fan, you could almost feel it like slipping away, like hold on. Ugh. Yes, Mark.
The Nuggets now feel like the Warriors during their run, where that third quarter, the Warriors would just turn it on.
Yeah.
And your lead was gone, yeah. No matter how big of a lead that you had.
Here's Anthony Davis being asked about guarding Jamal Murray.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of detail there. Slow down. I got to write all of this down. But he got switched out on him. I think Jamal Murray saw if AD came out on him that he was going to take him off the dribble. Because D'Angelo Russell was guarding him. But, man, I love a guy who wants to take the shot. Like, Dante DiVincenzo was taking some big shots last night. And Philadelphia's done a really good job on Brunson. But, once again, do you try to shut down the star and then let everybody else around him try to fill in? Joker, do I just play him straight up man-to-man? He's going to get his points. I just don't want him to get his assist. But he has 10 assists last night. And that's sometimes the difference where your big man gets his points, but then he's not getting anything else. But Joker, man, you got to pick your poison. And he doesn't seem bothered if you take the shot or I take the shot or I set you up to take the shot. He has no problem. He checks his ego at the door. But a lot of fun last night. Oh, by the way, the witness protection program gave us the Cavs against Orlando last night. They should put that on at like 4 in the afternoon. Yeah. They should, just to say, hey, watch these. Orlando, great story this year. And Donovan Mitchell, great. Watch them. Jared Allen had a wonderful performance last night, rebounds and points. Maybe put it on where you can see it or where you would watch it where you normally wouldn't. Like, have a friends and family viewing for Cleveland and Orlando. But Cleveland goes up, getting the win. Jalen Suggs banged up a little bit. He left the court, and then he came back, but don't know what the update is going to be for his availability. Yes, Marvin?
Saturday, everybody, 1 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah.
Cleveland at Orlando on TNT.
Okay.
Right. TNT Plus, TNT yeah. Extra, TNT.
True, yeah. I'm sorry, guys. True TV.
True TV. Yeah. Yes. Donovan Mitchell had 23. Jared Allen had 16 points and 20 rebounds. So, all right. Playoff basketball. I mean, it was kind of nondescript game one in most of these series, except for the Pelicans. But, you know, this was fun. It was fun last night. You had some exciting finishes there. All right, what's poll question today, Seton?
Well, you want to go with something after the break?
We can. Because I was thinking, who's in more trouble, the Lakers or the 76ers?
Well, so I had a version of that.
Version?
To be okay. A little more positive, though, because okay. I'm more of a glasses half full kind of guy.
Are you?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll see your version. I might have an aversion to your version.
An aversion to your version.
Yes. So we'll take a break. We're just getting started.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I mentioned I had some Joker stats for you. Percentage of games where this player took the most shots for his team this season. Luka, 85% of the games. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 86% of the games. Joker, 53%. Also, I was wondering where, like, if you looked at MVP seasons, where would Joker rank among these players the fewest shots for an MVP in a season? And we got our stats guy, John Tuvey, working on this. Joker was 19th in the NBA during the regular season in shot attempts. Four teams had two players who averaged more shot attempts than Joker did this year. The 76ers, Celtics, Suns, and the Mavericks.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes the stat of the day. Yay, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes the stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Chris Mannix, he'll be in Boston tomorrow night, game two between the Heat and Celtics. Always great to have him on. The Sports Illustrated NBA senior writer. Let me start with Joker. Can you remember an MVP in a season who averaged less shots? I don't know if Steve Nash would be somebody, but how many MVPs average fewer shots than Joker does during the regular season?
Yeah, top of my head, Steve Nash would be the only one that comes to mind because he was a playmaker. And a lot of his production, the reason he was the MVP, came off assists. But Jokic just does it and dominates in unique ways every game. I mean, watching that game last night, it was the offensive rebounding that was dominant. It was the playmaking that was dominant. Dan, one thing that struck me in that final sequence where Jamal Murray made that shot, if you rewind the tape a little bit and you look at the moments after the defensive rebound by Denver, the instant they got the ball in their hands, Jokic was already orchestrating that final play. He was waving guys around and gave them a position. He sent somebody, and I forgot who was, over from the right side of the play to the left, essentially to clear room for what was a developing two-man game between himself and Jamal Murray. So great shot by Jamal Murray in the face of Anthony Davis, but give Jokic credit in part for kind of clearing that room for him, giving him enough space to operate. You know, it's plays like that that make Nikola Jokic so special.
I'm trying to understand how a Laker fan can spin this in a positive way, that you were up 20, and it feels like they're trying to win games in the first half. Like, let's go out and use all of our energy, and then they limp to the finish line. You've been close with Denver. Even last year when they got swept, they weren't getting blown out. So I'm trying to figure out, if I'm a Laker fan, what positives do I take away from losing back-to-back games?
I mean, I think among the positives was how well D'Angelo Russell played in the first half, how well Anthony Davis played in the first half. Both those guys seemed to run out of gas, though, in the second. I mean, Davis, you know, he had a great regular season, played 76 games, the most games that he's played in his NBA career, averaged more minutes per game than he has at any time since his New Orleans days. But you start to wonder, watching a series like this, if there's enough gas left in the tank for Anthony Davis to be a dominant two-way player for 35, 36 minutes. I mean, on the defensive end in the fourth quarter, Nikola Jokic was great. I mean, an AD, as good as he is defensively, he just couldn't do much to stop him in the post. And with Russell, Dan, I said coming into the series, the only way the Lakers can win is if D'Angelo Russell is the kind of player we've seen in the regular season and not in the games he's played against Denver. I mean, the conference finals last year, Dan, the Nuggets played D'Angelo Russell right off the floor. I mean, yeah, he was benched in the conference finals. First half of game two, he had 18 points, made 6 of 7 from three-point range. He was 1 of 4 from three-point range the rest of the way, just 5 points in that second half. I mean, you can draw a line between D'Angelo Russell, you know, being a effective offensive player to that 15-point lead the Lakers built to, you know, that, you know, collapse, so to speak, in the second half. So both those guys have to find a way to play four full quarters to give the Lakers a chance.
Better chance of coming back, the Lakers or 76ers?
I'm going to give the 76ers a better chance of coming back, but that was just heartbreaking. I mean, the Knicks, Reggie Miller'd the 76ers down the stretch. Like the run they had in that final 15, 20 seconds, whatever it was, I haven't seen anything like it at MSG since Reggie Miller did what he did so many years ago. And I mean, credit the Knicks that they just never stopped playing. Like, you know, Jalen Brunson has had a terrible series statistically. He has shot under 30% in the first two games of this series, but he still has the confidence to make that shot. Dante DiVincenzo misses one shot on the wing, makes the second at the top of the key. And Philadelphia, I mean, what are we doing down the stretch there? You call a timeout when you need it on the inbounds. You don't, if you're Kyle Lowry, don't just flip the ball in to Tyrese Maxey on that inbound play. Don't put him in the position that he was in. I know a lot of the focus, Dan, is on the refereeing and should they have called a foul down the stretch? Maybe. But the Sixers blew that game. They couldn't come up with an offensive rebound or a defensive rebound when they needed it, and they made multiple poor plays in that final minute that allowed the Knicks to, you know, keep that door open to win that game.
What do the Nuggets have to do to be labeled one of the great teams?
I mean, multiple championships is kind of opens the door for you. It puts you in that rarefied air of teams that have won multiple championships. And then you kind of bump them up a tier from there. Like, you know, does three championships put them in the mix with the early aughts Lakers that won three straight with Shaq and Kobe? The Celtics and the Lakers of the 1980s, you start talking about them as being in that conversation. So I think it starts with two championships, and then you build from there.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rockets when they won back-to-back titles.
That's a good example.
Because, you know, when we're saying, you know, do I think they're one of the great teams? I don't. But I think if you're going to be labeled great, it's got to be more than 1 year.
I think they might be, though, Dan, because it's not like this is the final chapter of their run. They've got most of that team under long-term contract, and most of that team is in the case of someone like Michael Porter Jr., just entering the prime of their careers. I mean, Porter Jr.'s year was sensational. This is a guy that, you know, many people wondered if he would ever be able to play the kind of season that he did. Played, what, like 80-plus games this year? I mean, that's just an incredible accomplishment for MPJ. I mean, Jokic is incredibly durable. Murray's had his bumps along the way, but he's still young. I mean, you know, anything can happen this year because the playoffs in the Western Conference especially are going to be brutal. But I think this team's window is probably three or four more years to win championships.
We're talking to Chris Mannix, the senior writer for the NBA with Sports Illustrated. But Joker, now with the third MVP coming up, like now all of a sudden we start to get into a little bit more interesting conversation with him. That, hey, nice story. Oh, I got another MVP. Well, let's see if you can win a title. Oh, you got a title. Now you get another MVP. Favored to win another title. At what point does he start to get into that top 20 players of all time conversation?
I mean, I think we're there, aren't we? I mean,
he's a top 20 player of all time?
I'd have to make, you know, I haven't made a list lately, but yeah, I mean, a third MVP, there's only a handful of guys that have done that. Yeah. So at some point, the results speak for themselves. And the completeness of his game at that position.
Okay, if I said Durant or Joker, who's going to be ranked higher when their careers are over?
When their careers are over, I would say Jokic will probably be ranked higher.
Okay. Giannis.
That's a tougher one because Giannis is still in his prime. And Giannis this year, he's going to finish top five MVP. He's not going to finish inside the top three, but he had a insane statistical season, and he is a two-way player. He's as good defensively most nights as he is offensively. I'm going to say Jokic, but it's a lot closer.
Karl Malone.
I mean, Jokic probably because of the championship and whatever happens over the next three. I think he's going to get at least one more. So I think three MVPs and two championships nudges him above Malone.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Now you're just being mean. probably Jokic. I mean, Dirk revolutionized the game. Made shooting three, made half the things that Jokic does now en vogue. I mean, Jokic probably, in a way, learned some of the game from Dirk Nowitzki or figured out how to play a certain way because of Dirk Nowitzki.
That's fair.
I just think Jokic is the completeness of his game. Like, he's a playmaker where Dirk wasn't, not to that level. He's a rebounder, I think, better than Dirk. I mean, you give the ball to Dirk in the high post in his prime, and good night. That's an 18-footer that's going in 75% of the time. You give the ball to Jokic, and you don't know what's going to happen. He could shoot a fadeaway jump shot himself at a high percentage. He can go to the basket. You saw him get to the free throw line a lot and down the stretch against Anthony Davis. Or he can make the right play and find an open teammate for three. Jokic's ability to dissect the defense, I think, probably separates him from Dirk as well.
Larry Bird.
I get so much hate mail from, like, or hate, more hate message than usual because of this debate. Probably Jokic as well.
Wait, do you really mean that? Are you crying right now?
I'm not crying. I'm trying to think of what I'm missing here. With, I mean, look, you're talking about all-time great players and,
yes,
and scorers and
yes,
what they do. Larry was more clutch in big moments. Larry had the weight of the world on his team down the stretch in big moments, and he made shots that we hadn't seen in that era. But again, the completeness of Jokic's game, I gotta put him up there. I mean, I'm you're whittling guys off the potential top 20 list. I'm bumping him ahead of all these guys. So I think we're there. I think we're there with Nikola Jokic as a top 20 player.
It feels like the Celtics are hard to root for nationally, hard to buy into, because all we're doing, you know, there's certain teams in certain sports where you go, like Cowboys. Hey, 13 regular season wins. I don't care. What are you going to do in the playoffs? The Celtics are there. Like, hey, wonderful regular season. Now you got to win a title.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. You know, how many years now, 6, 7 years in a row, or 6, 7 years total, we've seen the Celtics in at least the conference finals, NBA finals, you know, a couple of years back, and have been to the mountaintop, but have not yet won a championship. And you mentioned the hard to root for. Part of it is when you go through a regular season that's effectively over by, like, Ash Wednesday, like, for them. Like, you're not going to get behind a team like that. I think part of the skepticism, though, is that there is a belief nationally that when the game's on the line, Jason Tatum is not as good as some of the other players in key moments. Like, where would you rank Jason Tatum among the guys that you would trust with the ball in their hands down the stretch among playoff teams? Dan, we could probably sit here and name 6, 7 guys that, you know, many people would take in those moments. So I don't think a lot of that is fair. I think that Tatum has taken a step back this year in a way to allow Jaylen Brown to keep growing, to allow Porzingis to be a 20-point per game scorer, to allow Jrue Holiday to get his shots. But I think there's a perception out there that in tight competitive games, Jason Tatum is going to be not a liability, but not going to be the greatest option in those moments. I disagree with it. I think he's going to prove in these playoffs that he is an elite fourth quarter scorer, an elite crunch time player, a guy that can play out of the high post, the low post, and beat you in a variety of different ways. But that is one of the skepticisms that people have about Boston in this playoffs, that they've won so many games, huge margin of victory, blowing teams out across the field. When it gets tight late in games, can they rely on Jason Tatum?
Good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for joining us as always.
Can I ask a question, Dan, before I go? I've been watching, of course, and I understand you're kind of, are you making a short list for your potential replacements? Is that what's happening the last few weeks?
No, I just had somebody who contacted me, and I was a little bit surprised that the person said, do I put my name in the hat? And I said, for what? And he said, to replace you. And I said, no hat yet. But, I mean, I don't even know if the Danettes want to continue to do this. But are you throwing your name in the hat?
I would. I would like to formally throw my name into that.
Paulie, can we get a hat? Well, okay. How do you guys feel about what Mannix just said?
We're going to need time to process this. This is out of nowhere. Right. No one saw this
Marvin,
coming.
What do you think?
NBA talk all day?
Yeah,
I'm in.
Okay. Todd?
I love Chris. That's excellent news that he's interested in that.
So that's your choice. If I run by some other candidates for you, you're taking Mannix.
Oh, that's really putting me on the spot. Ross Tucker is a good guy. I don't know if he's interested, but I love Chris Mannix, and I will leave it at that.
Seton, what about you?
I think Chris would be fantastic. I don't know that necessarily. I want to be much like a Tuckerette. I don't know if I'm going to be a Mannixette either.
Okay.
But I think that Chris would be fantastic.
All right, Paulie.
Can I, Dan? Just to let me make a brief case here, right?
Okay.
So. I have a good relationship, obviously, with the Danettes, as you saw there. Paulie and I, Vermont. Well, I was going to say, Paul, you and I, Vermont neighbors. Like we're kindred spirits up there. Proximity, Dan, I could seamlessly move to Connecticut, continue doing that show right there in that studio.
Okay.
No issue with that. And look, I know you've said that you want to differentiate the next host from you a little bit. That's why you said you weren't considering the Danettes. Everybody loves you. Everybody hates me. So, I mean, that's, I think, a nice differentiator.
There have to be some people who like
you. Yeah.
I mean,
haven't found them, but there has to be somebody who likes Chris Mannix.
Members of Ricky Rubio's family, maybe.
Wait, what was that? What was that Chris Rock show? Everybody Hates Chris. Hello. We can bring that back. Everybody Hates Chris. Come on in. All right, your name is officially in the hat.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, that's Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBA senior writer. Take a break back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or, I don't know, take over a minute to down a 2-liter? Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If you missed last hour, we had Chris Mannix on. He covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. And I said, is the Joker already above Karl Malone on the all-time list? And he said, yes. And then threw out some other names. And then I said, what about surpassing Larry Bird? And he said, yes. And I went, uh-oh. That could be blasphemous, Chris Mannix. But, you know, with three MVPs, if he would happen to win another title, now all of a sudden you start to go into a whole different category there. To be continued there. Chris Haynes was on the sidelines. I saw him last night, all decked out. Bleacher Report NBA insider, courtside reporter. He was there at the Garden and got a chance to witness it all, listen to it all. Give me what the environment was like with a minute to go in the Garden, Chris.
Thanks for having me on, DP. It was an incredible experience. That was my first Knicks playoff game working as a sideline reporter. So I was very interested in seeing how that turnout was going to shape out. But it was incredible. But that last minute, my seat, I have a seat directly behind the Sixers bench. And a minute left into that game, you know, you're just seeing the Sixers. They're you know, they're pounding their chest. They're excited. They believe they got this game. They believe they're about to finish this game. And, you know, it was the fans. They were down and somber. It looked like we were going back to Philadelphia 1-1. And then it happened. And when I say it happened, a lot happened. I mean, it was it just turned that place upside down. I know the call, the controversial non-call holding of Tyrese Maxey, and the Sixers have asked the league to review that. They filed a complaint on that. I don't think anything is going to come of that. But with that being said, take that away. The Knicks crashed the boards off his rebounds, dove on the floor to get the ball. They wanted it. They really wanted it. And that's the thing. When I look at this matchup, I believe talent-wise, I believe Philadelphia has the better team talent-wise. But the Knicks, they got some dogs. They got some dogs over there. Josh Hart, Hartenstein, Dante, I don't want to mess up his name.
DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo. I always have a hard time saying that. I'll at least stay with Dante. They got some dogs over there. And so I think ultimately that's what's putting them in favor and putting them ahead as of right now.
Who should be favored now?
You gotta stay the Knicks. I mean, they took care of home court advantage. This is my, if I'm a Sixers fan, my concern going into game three is that they might not be over game two, just the way that it ended. And the complaints that they have, valid complaints. You can obviously see Jalen Brunson kind of pull that Tyrese Maxey's jersey. Valid complaints, but, you know, there's a time when you have to kind of move on and you can't let that settle in. And I'm not saying that's the case, but you can see a scenario play out in which game two might have been the game that broke the series down. I don't know. Philly still has, you know, they got home court now for the next two games, I should say. But that was a brutal loss for sure.
Why didn't Philly take a timeout?
Well, Nick Nurse was actually calling the timeout. The ref looked like he didn't see him or he ignored him. So you could see on the sideline Nick Nurse trying to get the ref's attention. But also Kyle Lowry, who's inbounding that ball, they would have seen him if he would have called a timeout. You know, so I think it was a situation where the ref was, they were looking at the players. And it's, that environment was loud. Like, DP, it was one of the better playoff environments I've been in a long time. So it was loud. So I guess I can see that the ref probably didn't hear Nick Nurse on the sideline trying to call a timeout, but they would have saw the players. If Kyle Lowry would have signaled for a timeout, I think they would have got it.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it right now. It's like Nick Nurse wants to call the timeout. He hesitates a little bit there. And then the ball is loose, so you can't call that timeout if the ball is loose. Yeah. So yeah. I think he missed the opportunity to call the timeout.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, Kyle Lowry, you know, him being a veteran, being a champion, like, I believe he knows they still have a timeout left. Like, he has to feel it. You know, he has a ticking clock in his head. He understands, you know, it's about to be close to being a five-second call. Like, he has to know and understand the time as well. So I don't know what happened right there. Maybe the players didn't know they had a timeout. I don't know, but that was an unfortunate situation.
He's Chris Haynes, NBA on TNT courtside reporter. Next up, he'll have the Heat in the Celtics series for the next three games. Also, check out his basketball podcast with Mark Stein, hashtag This League Uncut. We had Chris Mannix on last hour, and we were talking about Joker. You get three MVPs in 4 years, you get a title, and at what point does he start to get into the conversation of all-time greats? Not a top 10, certainly not yet, but is Joker in that top 20 player category all-time, let's say top 20, in your opinion?
Top 20. Look, I will say this, and I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to dip from it.
Okay.
But DP, I heard Mannix say that he's already better than Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Right. Would you say Karl Malone is top 10, top 15?
He's not top 10. Maybe top 15. Maybe top 15.
Okay. So I think talent-wise, Joker is a top 10. Maybe even maybe even top 8, 7. I don't – maybe talent-wise. But as far as we're talking career, you know, that's where, like, I kind of – I'm a little bit hesitant on the Malone because I know the championships and the MVP. I get that. But just the longevity, it's still something to be said about, you know, having longevity in this league. But with that being said, top 20, yeah, I would put him in the top 20 right now. Top 10, I want to see more. I want to see more because, you know, it's like I used to make this, you know, when Bo Jackson was playing. Probably, you know, people at the time were saying he was arguably the best running back ever just in that time frame, in that window that he had. And you could still make the case, like, pound for pound, you know, arguably being the best or one of the best running backs, period, but he didn't have that longevity. So with Joker, that's, you know, I want to see more time and window. But talent-wise, we're talking just talent. Talent-wise, he's among the greats.
Is it a good thing that the best players in the game are from other countries?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, this is what David Stern wanted. He wanted the NBA to branch out and to become a global game, and it has. The world has caught up, and I think it's good to have different styles of basketball and different people of different countries and races and ethnicity representing this game. So I don't see it as a bad thing at all. And I think if you're an American, if you're complaining about it, well, just put your work in and get out there and try to take them down.
But I would love to see the U.S. versus the world at the All-Star game. I do think that might have a little more country pride, and, you know, then maybe there's a little bit more to it. I mean, we're at the point now where there's not many other options to dress this up and make it seem like it's an actual game.
Okay. Let me say this, DP. Let me ask you this. Sounds cool. Sounds like a good idea. I've heard it before. But the world, does the world have 12 to 15 European all-stars, legitimate all-stars? Are we at that stage yet?
Well, they get Canada too.
Still, are we at that stage?
Well, I know I've got the
Giannis, Joker. You can't consider Embiid on the world team anymore. He's playing for the U.S. national team. So you got the Joker, Giannis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. Let me see.
Lauri Markkanen?
Now you're grasping now.
Okay. All I know is I like my starting five better than your starting five.
Okay, okay. Well, I think the U.S. has the depth.
Okay. Kristaps Porzingis?
You're still grasping there.
Rudy Gobert?
You throw Rudy in there. But, you know.
Josh Giddey? All right, before I let you go, you're running the Warriors. What do you do in the offseason?
I'm checking in with Clay to see what his asking price is to stay.
All right.
If it's a reasonable price, you bring him back. I think that's the fair move. My concern would be that Clay may feel that he can get more on the open market. But with that being said, you got to check with Steph. If Steph wants the team back in place, you got to kind of run with that. But you also have to bring in more younger guys. And I think they did a good job of incorporating Kuminga. And, you know, they had the big man. The big man came through at the center spot, gave him just an aerial threat. And then you have Brandon Podziemski, defensive guy, hard-nosed guy. He's a dog. So they did a good job in incorporating some young guys. But I still think ultimately you got to check in with Steph to see what he wants. If he feels like you want to bring those three back, Draymond and Klay Thompson back, I think you kind of you got to lean that way. But with Klay, you definitely have to figure out the pricing situation.
Okay, would you ask Steph if he would like to play elsewhere?
I don't even think I asked that. I can't ask that question. I can't ask him that question. The reason I can't ask him that question, because I think he would think that you guys are thinking about letting me go.
I would just say, out of respect for you winning a championship, if you feel like you can win a championship here, then, you know, we can bring everybody back. But if it's important to you with everything you've done for this franchise, if it's important to win another championship and you feel like you have a better chance elsewhere, then we would try to accommodate that.
DP, this is why I say I wouldn't ask him that question, because there are three players that I've known that I've covered. I won't name, but I've covered them throughout their career. Management proposed that question or asked them that question, and they took it as management or ownership is starting to look in a different direction, and they took it as a slight.
All right, yeah.
So that's the reason why I say I wouldn't ask him that question. I think for a player of that caliber, if that player is still – now, I think you could ask that question if, you know, the star player is on a downhill, and you're like, you know what, we'll keep you because of what you've done for this organization, but, you know, are you willing to go elsewhere? You know, they can take it a different way, but I would let that player – bring that to the table.
What about Jakob Poeltl?
Excuse me?
The all-international team. I got Jakob Poeltl.
There you go, DP. If that was my response, then that's my thing. Because if we want to go to the world versus the United States, then you're going to have some United States players that feel snubbed because you're giving eight or nine all-star spots to players on the world who aren't of that caliber yet. So that's the discrepancy, and that's the controversy that I can see happening.
How about the Wagners?
No. Okay. If you want to have a game, that's fine. But I'm telling you right now,
okay.
There's a lot of players who have bonuses.
Oh, I know.
Big bonuses.
Yeah.
You know, they make an all-star team, and now – You're taking away 15 spots to have the world versus the United States. So do it at your own risk, Adam Silver and DP.
I do love my starting five, though.
Yeah, hey, that's a good starting five, but it's about depth.
I got Joker, I got Luka, I got Wembanyama, I got Giannis.
Yep, that's great.
I got Shai Gilgeous. You can bring whoever you got. We ain't afraid. And you know what? They're playing the entire game. No bench. I'm giving you the rest of the roster spots for the players from the U.S. I got my five. My five's on the floor.
DP, good luck trying to convince their respective coaches, but letting them play all.
I know. Don't be a buzzkill. Don't be a buzzkill. Come on. Back in my day, we played every minute.
Hey, I hear you, DP.
Hey, safe travels there. Thanks for joining us as always, buddy.
Thank you for having me, man.
Oh, one of our favorites, Chris Haynes, NBA on TNT Courtside Reporter. He's going to be covering the Heat and Celtics over the next three games, and his podcast with Mark Stein, hashtag This League Uncut.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The boundlessly capable all-electric EQS SUV from Mercedes-Benz with available transparent hood technology. So advanced, it can see through sheet metal. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS-SUV.